Alrighty, thank you. So over the past number of years, the big story in soybean production has been the rise in soybean prices. And farmers have been looking to take advantage of these high soybean prices by adopting what's called high yield management. And high yield management is basically increasing number of inputs you put into your system to try to maximize yields to take advantage of high prices. And there are a whole number of inputs available to farmers to help them that are supposed to help them increase their yields. This includes seed treatments, antioxidants, nodulation promoters, defoliant branching promoters, nitrogen and foliar fungicides, and insecticides. So what I want to focus on today is the defoliant branching promoters, and it's kind of counterintuitive that to increase soybean yields you'd want to defoliate them, but that's the theory. So the chemical that's used that's been promoted to either defoliate soybeans or increase branching has been lactoferrin. Lactoferrin is a PPO inhibitor herbicide, and the PPO herbicide, it causes burning and bronzing of the soybean tissue. And lactoferrin, it's of the PPOs, it's known to do this the most. So the guy who really got everybody all excited about this was Kip Cullors. He broke the soybean yield record a number of years ago, 10.8 megagrams per hectare. And this is from an AgWeb article in 2010, the year he broke the record. It says, Cullors sprayed his plot at the second trifoliate with a full rate of lactoferrin, heated up with crop oil and UAN. Ultimately, it killed the main growing point and caused the plant to branch into the equivalent of three or four plants. So the hypothesis that Cullors said worked was that if you remove this main growing point here, you'll get increased branching from these lower nodes on the soybean plant. More nodes could lead to more branches. You get more nodes, total nodes, which can lead to more pods, more seeds, and then eventually more yield. Another hypothesis that has been put forth for yield response is seeing the early season lactoferrin application. It says leaf removal can alter how soybean plants sense photoperiod. So spraying early vegetative soybeans affect the flowering FT locus gene, which basically it's equivalent to removing the soybean leaves, and which leads to a longer reproductive period, increased pod number, and increased seed yield. So here's just a diagram. PPO application, lactoferrin application is essentially equivalent to total defoliation. So what we wanted to do, we wanted to determine how lactoferrin affects soybean physiology and morphology. And we also wanted to determine if lactoferrin application can affect seed yield. So methods, two locations in Kentucky, randomized complete block design, 0.38 meter row spacing, 432,000 seeds per hectare, and it was just managed weed-free according to university recommendations. Prior to harvest, we collected 1 meter of row, and we determined nodes per plant, pods per plant, seeds per plant for both the main stem and the branches. We harvested the whole plot with a combine, adjusted all yields to 13% moisture. And here's our treatments. We have untreated control. We have lactoferrin full rate, 240 grams AI per hectare plus, and Flumisafe and another PPO herbicide to compare the effects, also full rate, both with 1% crop oil. We have a meristem removal treatment where we physically went through each plant in the plot and pulled the meristem off to make sure it was actually gone, and the leaf removal treatment where we physically went through and clipped the leaves off of every plant in the plot. And we did this at timings V1 through V4. Here's just a look. This is a V2 defoliation, pretty dramatic leaf removal that's supposed to simulate the effects of actually removing the soybean leaves. Analyzed with Jump 10, random effects in NOVA, replications random, locations we looked at separately. So 2013 results, soybean morphology, yield components. Before you take a look at any data, I think it's more useful to kind of look at pictures. This plant here with the meristem removed, you get this kind of morphology. You get lateral branching like you would expect from these lower nodes, but the branches grow to like the height like a normal main stem would be. And here's the plant morphology for a typical plant treated with lactoferrin. It looks like a normal soybean. You get basically the main stem and a couple of these small branches on the lower nodes. So you can see right now that the morphology between cobra-treated plants and plants with a meristem actually removed is different. So here's the data for Lexington. No effective timing, V1 through V4 did not matter. No interaction, but stress was statistically significant, very significant for all the yield components. So if you take a look at the yield components, we did a contrast to the untreated. And as you can see, the only difference in branches per plant, pods per branch, branch pods per plant, main stem yield, it was the meristem removal treatment. Because when you remove that, physically remove that growing point, that ends main stem growth. So all subsequent pods, nodes, seeds are set on the branches. So, and you can see lactoferrin, leaf removal, flumacafin all behaved pretty much exactly the same as the untreated control. Hodgenville, same story. Timing was not significant. There was a timing by stress interaction, but I would say let's not look at it right now because at Hodgenville we missed the V3 timing. So let's just take a look at the stress main effect. And again, you can see the same thing. Lactoferrin, flumacafin, leaf removal, they all behave similar to the untreated control in both branches and the main stem yield. And again, meristem removal greatly increased branches, pods per branch, nodes per branch, seeds per branch, greatly decreased main stem yield. So here's just a diagram, what we got going on. Here's the growing point intact, basically the control plant. Here's your lactoferrin plant. Even though it gets burned, even though it gets damaged, it still develops pretty much the same way. And here's with the growing point removed, like we saw in the actual picture, you get these branches. So basically what happens is that pod production just shifts from what would have been the main stem onto the branches. So yield, does this actually affect yield? Take a look at seed yield, Hodgenville, no difference. There was a significant difference in Lexington. So we take a look at, we did a linear contrast again, treated again. Very good yields actually, but you can see lactoferrin, no different than the untreated. Flumacafin, no different than the untreated. We did see the differences were with the meristem removal and the leaf removal. Leaf removal, we looked at the yield components and there was really no difference, so we don't know exactly why the yield was lower. We do have some NDVI data that says it might not have achieved canopy closure by reproductive growth, but we can see the meristem removal. Nodes were similar, but it had decreased pods and decreased seeds. So conclusions. First off, lactoferrin, even a full rate with 1% crop oil, it does not kill the apical meristem. What happens when the apical meristem dies is that pod production, it moves from the main stem to the branches. You get bigger branches, but the pod production just moves to there. And early season lactoferrin applications does not increase soybean seed yield. So what we're going to do, collecting and analyzing 2014 data right now, it takes a while to get all this yield component analyzed, so we're going to look at that. 2013 was a very, very good year in Kentucky. 2014 was more stressful, so there might be some more differences between treatments. And we also took RNA-seq data, whole genome expression data, to look at genetic changes in the soybean plant between lactoferrin-treated and lactoferrin-untreated plants. And we look for genes of stress tolerance and, of course, the flowering hypothesis. So thank you to everybody, and are there any questions? Right, the question is, are we looking at harvest index, and would there be a difference between harvest index and, well, we're not looking at harvest index, but I wouldn't really anticipate a difference. It's just the pods are in a different spot, not really changing pods. Any other questions?
No questions? Well, no other questions. I think we'll move on to our next speaker. Thank you very much. Thank you.